What's your name?
Irene Edwards.
And what is your home? I mean Port Antonio?
Yes.
In Portland Parish?
Yes.
All right. You're going to tell us a story?
Yes.
All right. Please tell us the name of the story and then the story.
I'm going to tell you an Anansi story. Once upon a time, Piggy was a swine. He went down line to pick white lime. He dropped off a line and broke in behind, and Mr. Valentine was just in time to give him a dose of white lime.
Now, you were going to tell us a story about the robin, too.
Once upon a time, in the far north, there was only one fire. The hunter and his son had to keep the fire a-burning all the day long. One day the hunter gone out and left the son to keep the fire. The son was very tired and he fell asleep. A robin came and was scratching where the fire were, and he found a live coal. The coal catch on his breast and it burns it, and he fly about the north, and the old north catch a fire. That's why the robin breast became red. Alvin.
And the name of this story is Anansi and the King's Daughters.
Yes.
All right, please go ahead.
Once upon a time, the king had two daughters. He said if anybody told him their names, he would marry the youngest one. Lawyers and doctors and teachers went, but they did not guess the right names. One day, Bra Nancy make two lovely baskets and put it in the middle of the room while the two daughters gone for their baths. When they came, while Bra Nancy put the two baskets in the middle of the room, he went and hid himself under the house. When the two daughters came, the eldest one said to the youngest, "Young Piong Piong, what a beautiful basket." The eldest one answered and said, "Margaret Pamela Jones is the prettiest basket I ever seen." And that's the reason why the Bra Nancy found out the two daughters' name, and he went and told the king, and he married the youngest one.
What is your name?
Joseph Campbell.
And your position here?
A watchman, United Fruit Company, night watchman.
Is Port Antonio your home?
No, my home is Falmo Trelawney, born in Falmo Trelawney.
I see. Yeah. Will you tell us something about the work you do?
Oh, I work in the night here, and I watch for thieves. And anyone that I catch, well, I'll prosecute them, I'll lock them up. I'm a specialist, constable, all the same, United Fruit Company. Sure. Yes, I'm going to go on, sir.
Have you been on this job for a long time?
19 years on this job, sir.
Oh.
I was a soldier of the West India Regimental, disbanded in 1926. And I worked at Bowdoin 1927, 3 years, at Salt River 3 years, and in Port Antonio here, 19 years, for company.
Did you see any active service with the West India Regiment?
Well, no, I never go foreign, but I suppose have 5 years and 90 days in Jamaica, but I never go in any active service.
What about during the war?
During the war, I remain here. I never go foreign. Mm-hmm. Never go abroad.
The work on this wharf consists in doing what, then?
For keeping the premises in case of fire and thieves. I can inform the company that fire is around.
I suppose, do they load any bananas at night?
Oh, yes, many times that we load ships at night. Mm-hmm. And different cargoes also.
Such as what?
That flour ships when it comes alongside, and our sugar. Load sugar on the ships.
That is, the flour is coming in?
Yes, when the flour is coming in there, they landed the flour here many times. A couple of years ago, that there was in the night, landed flour on the dock. And many times that loaded ships in the night too also.
There's less shipping than there used to be, isn't there?
Yes, less shipping than there used to some years ago.
Will you tell us something about the old days?
Oh, the old days when I remember that Port Antonio was bright, but now it's getting down low now, nothing doing according to condition. Things are very slow. It's only United Fruit Company, as a matter of fact, which I would say that you'll get a little work from now, but no work else at all about, according to the time, the hardship of the time in Port Antonio.
That means that most people have to depend on agriculture.
Agriculture work.
That is, you mean their own plantings and so on?
Their own plantings, yes. And they make the plant bananas and supply it to the company, and their provision, they sell in the market to make a livelihood.
When there was more doing, how did it affect this part of the country?
Well, it wasn't so bad, because their work has been done. People, plenty of people work, and they get money, and they spend it around, and it helps the store, the shops, and everybody who are doing their little small settling work. It helps them a lot. But now everything has gone to a stage that the shops and stores, in Port Antonio's case, they go ahead, because no work and no money.
Isn't there any kind of factory or anything like that here?
No, we haven't got no factory in Port Antonio. All that we have in Port Antonio here, as you would say, as a matter of fact, it's only the shops and so on, but nothing that the people then can work and to help themselves. No factory.
Are there any plans for making factories and increasing the amount of production around here?
No, nothing at all like that in Port Antonio.
It seems to me that the important thing is to produce a great deal, then there's more for everybody.
Yes, I think so. Oh, yes.
What solutions do people suggest for all of this? Are there plans for changes, for improvements, for expansion?
Yes, they do. They're looking for that later on, that it may be a change in this parish. While I've spared, we think that later on things will be more prosperous for us. And then it will help the parish a great deal, because work will be done and the money will be circulating around, and everybody will be feeling happier than how they are feeling now, because everybody's getting dead now, because things are so slow that everybody's wing is breaking down, going right down.
Yes, you have to have something stirring to keep people...
To keep people that they think can stir themselves, and everybody can look up for themselves and feeling good, not as how they are feeling now, because everybody's wing is down. No work and no money.
When you were in the army, you say you stayed in Jamaica.
Yes, have I stayed in Jamaica. I never go foreign.
You have never been abroad at all?
At all. Never go abroad. I only remain in Hop Park Camp, Crossroad Post Office.
Mm-hmm.
That's there I remain all the time. For the 5 years and 90 days which I served in the West Indian Regiment, or the NCO, mm-hmm. non-commissioned officer.
Mm-hmm.
And when I disbanded, I get a good recommendation for my service and good behavior that I succeed the job at Bowden, St. Thomas, and from there to Salt River, and from there to Port Antonio, and still working in the United Fruit Company.
Mm-hmm.
As a good man.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
I wouldn't be here so long.
I should say not. Where did you go to school?
In Falmouth, government school.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's better at school. My teacher, his name was Simpson, J.J. Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there at school.
Do they have any special qualifications for becoming an NCO?
In the West Indian Regiment?
Yes.
Yes, you got to pass your third year. And after you pass the third year, you get a stripe, and from that you, from one stripe to two stripes, to three stripes, according to your qualification.
Mm-hmm. I asked you a little while ago about the good old days in Port Antonio when more was stirring.
Stirring.
What about this harbor here?
Oh, that was a fine harbor that we used to have 12, 13 ships along in this harbor, here in East Harbor, that you can walk from one ship to another. They were so packed up together on those bright days, because the people then were very glad, and because the money was partly growing in Port Antonio, which they say that you could pick it off the tree. Yes.
Nowadays you have ships much less.
Oh, less harbor. Sometimes for 3-4 weeks you may only have one or two ships. And things are very slow, getting backward all the time. We expect later on, the good old days, if it comes again, I don't think I'll be alive, but if my children have a good time, Port Antonio will come back again. We expect it to, many years to come, maybe about 10 or 12 years. I don't think I'll live so long.
Oh, you'll live that long.
I don't think so, because I'm 56 now, and I don't think I have much more to live.
68 is not really old yet.
Yes. I don't think I have much to live because according to the condition and things are getting low. We can't get enough money to feed ourselves to get strength. And getting backward all the time, you'll soon drop down.
Well, you have at least a good job.
Yes.
Better off than many others.
There you are.
How about your children? Are they doing well?
Yes, I have 7 children. I have a big boy. It's a big girl. She is 13. A big boy is 27. And the rest of 14, 11, 12, 11, 9. The last little one that I have is 5 years of age.
Well, you still have responsibility.
Oh, yes, I do. And my Marie, my wife, and everybody, still have that great responsibility.
Yes.
Yes.
And the older children, are they well established now?
Yes. The biggest one, the biggest girl, she's in Kingston, doing well. And the big boy, he's an important one here, but not getting nothing much to do. But the other little kids, them, they're going to school, one in six, two in six, one in fifth, fourth, and third. And the last little boy is in B book, B class.
Are they at the Titchfield School?
Yes, they go to the Titchfield School. Yes. They're doing pretty well, of course, and according to the teaching of their school, the school as teachers, telling me that they're getting bright. And I pray it may be better later days to come, that it may help them when I'm gone, that I'm trying to push them in as far as I can put it in the brain. They've got a lot of friends. Sometimes they come around when they're off school and teach them and show them and learn them and everything. So I think that later on they'll be up.
Well, are they thinking of any special profession?
No, not as yet. The big girl, she's in Kingston and she's doing some more. She's doing domestic work. The boy's a carpenter, but there's nothing to be done here. And the rest of the kids, them, they're still in school, and maybe later on, you don't know what may happen. We may give them something because money is so hard now, and we can't put them as high as we can. But any little thing, while they can just so sign the name and nobody can fool them, we'll be glad for that. If it was the days when plenty of money was in Port Antonio, yeah, we could know what to do with them, because I would have earned a lot of money to help them, but things are getting slow now. The cost of living is great.
Do they have any scholarships at the school to help good pupils?
Oh, yes, they do. They do.
Perhaps not as many as they'd like to have.
Would like to have, yes.
Well, thank you very much. I'll sign you off now.
Yes, thank you very much to you also. Yes.
What is your name?
My name is Helen Ailey.
Are you working for the United Fruit, too?
Yes, I do work as a carpenter.
Is Port Antonio your home?
Yes, I belong to Port Antonio.
Now, will you tell us something about the work you do?
Well, the work I do is of a very peculiar type as a carpenter, because sometimes you have very, in your working, you have every class of men, workmen to meet upon. Some of them work willingly, and you have another set don't work so willingly. Mm-hmm. And by so doing, sometimes their unwillingness to work let you get jittery on your nerves. Very cross sometimes. And sometimes you just have to pass them by, let them go and work their way how they can.
Well, don't you have enough people to choose from so that you can get the best workmen?
Well, yes, you can do that, but in a time like now, when you see the island called for more good workmen, according to the recent hurricanes, very good carpenters are very difficult to find now. Especially most of them are gone to the area where plenty of work are.
What area is that?
Well, the area that you have more carpenters now is St. Thomas, which is Marant Bay.
Oh, because of the breakdown of the hurricane?
Yes, the recent hurricane.
Are there carpenters from here who have gone over there that you know?
Yes, I know a few carpenters who have gone over to there.
Well, are they going to be sure of getting the jobs back here when they come back?
Well, you see, they don't have a continuous job here. You see, it's just like you'd call it casual worker. They are.
They just work on one job and then they wait until they get another one.
Yes.
Yours is more permanent than that.
Well, sometimes it's more permanent.
What is the United Fruit doing in the way of carpentering now?
Well, around here, it has very little carpenter work to be done.
But you are doing something
yes,
now.
Yes, I'm doing something now.
Are they building some new addition, or are you just repairing things?
Well, I'm just repairing things. According to the latest job that I've finished, I've finished making a little addition to the office and the wharf, and I've just finished repair the wharfinger's home. So I'm almost saying I'm at a standstill now with work.
You'd be glad to see them building something else.
Yes, I'd be glad for that.
When you do your work here, do you have mostly wood from Jamaica, local timber, or is it imported?
Well, with the United Fruit Company, they use mostly imported timbers. But I haven't met up on any native lumbers when I work with them. See, it is more easier for them to get the imported lumber. And it is more at an economical cost.
Because they have the shipping to bring it in.
Yes.
You do know the different kinds of Jamaican lumber, though, don't you?
Yes, I am quite aware of them.
So will you give me some idea of what the best Jamaica timber woods are that you are acquainted with?
Those you mean to make houses.
All right.
Yes, well, you have some. One of them is a, we call bullet wood. We have them in about three classes. We have the cherry and the easeberry. Well, I don't quite remember the other kind. Well, we have them such as bloodwood, Santa Maria, and broadleaf. Those are very good timbers to work on.
They're solid and durable?
Yes, solid, very solid and durable. When it comes to the bullet wood, it is very outstanding because hands cannot heat it much, and what you call termite doesn't worry it much. Mm-hmm. Neither seawater or even the fresh water don't worry it much. It's very strong.
I suppose it's difficult to cut, though.
Yes, and when it is cut, it is very heavy timber to carry it along.
What would you call the second-class timbers, then? Those that you mentioned, I suppose, were first-class ones.
Yes, first-class. Well, the second-class timbers are like... I see. The second-class timbers are like... What do you call? I just can't get on to them. Can't remember some of them.
Well, perhaps you tell me something about the kind of wood that's used and favored for furniture in Jamaica.
Oh, well, the first one that I know is very mostly used in Jamaica is mahogany. We have a scarcity of Jamaican mahogany now, but we get our mahogany now from British Honduras.
Oh.
Yes, we get our imported Belize. And we have yucca. We have gold spoon. Maho, those are very good lumbers to work up furniture. When they are polished, you see them look very classical, especially when you use them in laying to make them assorted colors. They are very fine. Even fustic are used for making it.
Inlays?
Yes, inlays. Mm-hmm. Are very pretty.
I never heard of Golden Spoon, was it?
Yes, Golden Spoon.
I never heard of that one before. Why do they call it that?
Well, you see, it is very smooth, and it has an appearance when it is worked up like gold, especially when you polish it. It is very smooth, just like our spoon is very smooth, like silver spoon.
Yes.
It just looks like that. So they call it a Golden Spoon.
I see. Do they use much lignum vitae on this side?
Yes, well, not... Well, in Jamaica, they use plenty, especially in what you call the curious fern things that they are making now. They use most of it to make that. Because if you should go to a curious center, you find many things that are made out of lignum vitae.
Why do they like it particularly?
Well, you see, it is a very tough wood. Mm-hmm. You see, and it's very durable, too. But when it comes to nailing, you can't nail it much.
You can turn it, but
you can't nail it.
You can't
nail it.
Oh, is that so?
Yes.
Does it grow on this side of the island? I haven't seen much.
Well, I haven't seen much in Portland. I haven't seen much at all, but when it comes to the other parts of the islands, you go along such as Clarendon, St. Catherine, and Manchester, I think you get a lot around there.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Thank you much. Delighted.
Remind me of your name.
Irene Edwards.
You recorded this morning, didn't you?
Yes.
What's the name of the song you're going to sing?
All they call me call Dinah. Dinah hear me but he won't speak.
All right, well please sing it.
La 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 la. All they call me call Dinah, Dinah hear me but he won't speak. See a kind pain a back in can linger, Dinah hear me but he won't speak. See a kind pain a back, see a kind pain a back. Dinah bend me back what tissue got you like a senile. See a kind pain a back in can linger, Dinah hear me but he won't speak. See a kind pain a back. Dinah beg me lick like the sugar, make me mix the sugar, so drink it, to the girl interrupt me anger, they come me pain a back and can linger, Dinah hear me but he won't speak.
And the name of this one?
Kami Aki Girl Instead Market.
All right, please begin.
Kami me Aki Girl Instead Market, not a quarty what sell. Kill me hacky girl in state market, not a quarty what sell. Lord, not a bite, not a light, and it's big at the night. Lord, not a bite, not a light, and it's big at the night. Kill me hacky girl in state market, not a quarty what sell. Kill me hacky girl in state market, not a quarty what sell. Lord, not a bite, not a light, and this big set the night. Lord, not a bite, not a light, and this big set the night. Kill me hacky girl in state market, not a quarty what sell. Kill me hacky girl in state market, not a quarty what sell. Lord, not a bite, not a light, and this big set the night. Lord, not a bite, not a light, and this big set the night. Everybody come feel up, not a quarty what sell. Everybody come feel up, not a quarty what sell. Lord, not a bite, not a light, and this big set the night. Lord, not a bite, not a light, and this big set the night.
What is your name?
Herbert Scott.
And your home?
In Port Moriah, Main Street.
Port Moriah, what parish?
St. Mary.
Have you lived here all your life?
Yeah.
All right. Well, now, I hear you're a boat builder.
Yeah.
Can you tell us something about building a boat? For example, what kinds of wood do you use for the boats?
Well, we use cottonwood for building our boats.
Never any other kind?
No, some other men use ordinary wood, foreign wood.
Oh.
Boards. We use cotton wood.
That is for a dugout canoe?
Yeah.
You ever dig them out of big trees like guango or anything like that?
Well, some people do, but it's pretty heavy and hard to maneuver.
I see. What about the advantages of the cotton wood then?
Well, it have all the advantage over the sea that we need.
Is it better than other kinds of boats?
Yeah, sure.
The cotton, why?
Because it rides the waves better, you know?
It's lighter?
Yes, lighter.
How do you go about, suppose you're going to make a cottonwood boat, how do you go about it? What do you do first?
Well, after falling the tree, you tape it off the top.
Yes.
After junking it, of course.
What do you mean by junking it?
Cut the two ends to the exact length of the boat you want.
I see.
Your table is over the top, mm-hmm. and then you use a marked line with coal, fire coal, and you drop your lines that you want according to the shape of your boat.
Yes.
Well, you dig out the top from there, then you turn her over.
Yes.
And then you get out your bottom, whether you want 18 inches in the bottom or 2 feet or whatever you want. But you lighten the top first, of course.
Yes.
And then turn her over now and clean her out.
But how can you clean her out if you've turned her over?
Well, naturally, you drive some pins to get the thickness of the boat you want.
You cut out the top part first for a certain distance.
Yes.
Then you turn your boat upside down.
Yeah.
Then you shape the hull of the boat.
Yes.
And you use these pegs to tell you how thick it is to be at certain points?
Different parts.
How do you work those pegs?
Well, you use a bit and you bore. You use 2.5 inches in the bottom, 2 inches in the round of the boat, of course, and a half inch coming up to the gunwale.
Then you have to leave those pegs in after the boat is built, I suppose.
Oh, sure.
They won't come out while it's in the water.
No. They're made of cedar.
I see.
Swells.
They swell and hold tight in the hole.
Yeah.
After you turn your boat right side up again.
Yeah.
How do you hollow it out? What do you use? What tool?
You use a howl and an adj.
I see. Is it done with a hammer or just by hand?
Just by hand.
Do you ever have to burn any of it?
No, we don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Is that an older method, or?
Yes, it's a primitive, more primitive method.
And very slow, I suppose.
Yes, very.
Then, after you've done that part, I suppose you have to shape the boat somehow.
Well, after bringing her home from the bush, there's where you start to work to get your right shape. You start to fit her up with foreign lumber, you know, and put some parts wider and some parts narrow, just like how you want it.
And what wood do you put inside it then?
Cedar is the best.
And do you put in benches or something like that?
Yes, we call them tarts.
I see. And do you have something along the side to strengthen it?
Yes, we call that the ribbon. And on top, we put a strip of board, about an inch and a half strip, on top.
Flat on top of the gunwale?
Yes, after putting on the ribbon.
I see. Now, how do you row these boats?
Well, we use 2 oars and a paddle.
The paddle is for steering?
Yeah.
What do the oars bear on?
Well, the oars bear on 2 bits of wood about a foot each long.
Yes.
And those are made up of just ordinary wood.
What do you call them?
We call them the balyards.
And do they have some way of holding the oar steady on top of them?
Well, we bore the boat about 6 inches down, 2 holes.
Yes.
One in front and one in back, about a foot apart, and use rope to tie them.
To tie on the balyard?
The whore. To tie on the whore. We nail on the balyard and tie on the whore.
Over the balyard?
Yes, 2 straps.
I see. What do you call those straps?
We use manila rope.
Do you have a name for that strap?
No, just call it strap.
Four strap. You don't use a pin then, standing up for the oar to bear on?
No, the Caymanians do, but we don't.
Well, they do in Kingston too, around Kingston. They have a pin standing up, and the oar is on that, and that's where they put the strap around the pin and the oar, and then they pull on that.
Yeah, that is a Caymanian method, of course.
Well, you don't do it, why not? Because it's... Which way is easier?
Well, you see, RC around there I consider is rougher. And that rope will jump off.
Oh, I see.
See?
It's surer if you tie it on your way.
Yeah.
How do you fill up cracks and such things in the boat?
Well, we use cotton.
Cottonwood?
No, cotton.
Oh, regular cotton.
Regular cotton. And paint, mixed thick, and putty, of course.
And you stuff it in?
Yeah. And put some paint over it.
Do you paint the whole boat?
Yeah. In and out.
In and out.
Yeah.
I've seen some interesting names to boats.
Yeah.
What are some of the names you know?
Well, mine's name's Ben-Hur.
Ben-Hur?
Yes.
And what are some of the others? I think I saw Perseverance on one.
Yes, North Star.
North Star.
Future.
Oh, yes, Future. And what are some of the others?
Alabama. You have Atomic.
Yeah. Very modern.
Yes, all different names.
About how many men will the average boat hold?
Well, a boat 25 feet long. That is about the average boat. And it can carry fairly 10 people, spaciously. You know, can hold it. Hold it,
it
all
can
right.
hold them, but 10 people don't go out in them.
Yes, sometimes
really?
When we are going to sporting.
Yes, but I mean in ordinary fishing, when you go fishing sometimes.
No, when we're going fishing, we carry 3 persons that mm-hmm. is working.
Yes.
And we have to have enough space to put the pots between.
Yes. Then you have 2 men to row and 1 to steer, I suppose.
Yes, and that man is called a captain, and he handles all the fish pot business and all that down there with the help of the second man to him.
Yes. Now, does each fisherman own his own boat, or do you rent boats, or do you have groups that own boats, or how does it go?
Each fisherman has his own boat.
Well, then he gets 2 other people to work with him in his boat.
Yes.
He's the captain?
Yes.
How do you arrange that then? According to how much you catch, or?
Well, you pay by your catch, but some of the men generally make pots, and those pots pay them. And you, the captain, generally have more pots than they do.
Than the other men?
Yeah.
Your pots, I notice, are made of mesh wire on a wooden frame.
Yes, galvanized.
Those are a new type of pots?
Well, that is what I came and saw.
I see. You came from where, you mean?
That is what I was born. And
oh, you've seen those all your life?
Yeah.
Didn't they make them out of local wood and basket material before?
Well, we do now.
You do?
Yes. Whenever the mesh wire is hard to get, we use bamboo and strip them out and get the skin and twist them around.
I see.
And shape them with making meshes out of them.
And you make mesh with those, you weave them into a mesh.
Yeah.
Does that stand up well?
Yes, fairly well. Lasts about a year.
But it's not as good as the galvanized wire.
Yes, so far.
Well, thank you very much. That's an interesting account. I see we're at the end of the reel.
Okay. Well, that is as far as building boats in...